Testing. 1, 2, 3. Test. Test. Check. Good. All right. Well, let's begin with prayer tonight before we look into God's Word here. Father, we praise you tonight, Lord, that even though our equipment may not be working and our voices are weak and we're tired, Lord, we thank you that our efforts do not gain our standing with you. That you are pleased with us because you are pleased with your Son. Lord, we praise you tonight for the gospel, that we stand complete in Jesus. Father, that is a marvelous, marvelous work that Christ has done on our behalf, and we praise you for that tonight, Lord. And as we now move in to this time of opening your word and talking more about fellowship, Lord, please give us wisdom and please open our minds and hearts to receive your word. For the glory of Christ, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in his book entitled Bowling Alone, I love that title, Bowling Alone, a Harvard professor shows that in spite of all of our technology, Americans are less connected than ever. Sadly, this lack of connection is also true for the church. Really, all you have to do is look at the decline in religious affiliation over the last 40 years. A recent public religion research survey found the number of non-religious Americans, those who report no formal religious affiliation, doubled from 1990 to 2008, reaching 17% of the population. So 17% of Americans report no formal religious affiliation. About 40 years ago, that number was 5%. And those that do attend church seem to have less and less time to commit to their congregation's worship and ministry. As one evangelical leader observes, church has become a place we go rather than a community in which we belong. Yet, here's the reality in all this. The reality in all this is that there is no such thing as private Christianity. There's no such thing. Christianity is a call to fellowship. So if Christianity calls for fellowship, we've got to know what fellowship is. Right? So what I want to do tonight is I want to answer this question. What is fellowship? What is fellowship? And I had handouts, but it doesn't matter. They were just outlines. So we can move on. Now, if you remember from last time, I gave three reasons why we need fellowship. And after the message, I was in a conversation with someone, and they said to me, "We need the church." He was right. We do need the church. But what I argued for last time was that we need something more than the church. Right? We need the church, but we need something more, namely biblical fellowship. There is a difference then between the church and fellowship. So, before we get to the definition of fellowship, I think it would be helpful tonight to clarify the difference between the church and fellowship. And it's important to make this distinction because the Scriptures make this distinction. All right? Biblically speaking, the words fellowship and church are not exactly the same thing. And I take my cues here from Acts 2, verse 42. So please open there with me. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It's page 1090 if you have a Bible from the back. Acts 2, verse 42. They, that is the new church, were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So in this passage, we see that the first local church, right, this is a passage about the church, practicing four elements in this community, in this church community: teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer. Fellowship, if you notice, is just one of the elements that took place in the community or in the church. So in Acts 2:42, there is a distinction, right? There's a distinction between fellowship and the church. Fellowship is a practice of the church. However, of all four elements in Acts 2:42, fellowship is the most closely equivalent to the church. It's more closely equivalent than teaching, than breaking of bread, or prayer. This is why some churches call themselves fellowships. Right here in the Twin Cities, Twin Cities Fellowship. And in one sense, the church is a fellowship. It is a fellowship. That is, fellowship used as a noun. Right? Let's look at one example that I think will suffice for tonight. We don't have time to look at every passage, but why don't you turn to Galatians chapter 2. Hold your finger in Acts 2 and turn to Galatians 2. It's page 1165. So we're looking at fellowship used as a noun. Galatians 2, Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia, and he writes in verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9, "And recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reported to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, so that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised." So these three leaders, James, Cephas, and John, they recognize Paul and Barnabas. They recognize them. So what they did is they extended to them the right hand of fellowship, which means they partnered with them. And they included them as participants in the gospel. And to this day, some churches have adopted this practice of extending the right hand of fellowship to people as they come in to into the membership of the church. That's because a church, as a church, we are a fellowship. Right? Sometimes we use that word fellowship as a synonym for church. So fellowship is sometimes used as a noun. But in the Scriptures, fellowship is also used as a verb. Right? That's what we see in Acts 2:42. So flip back to Acts 2:42. "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." Right? So they were doing four things. They were doing verb things, right? Teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer. So, is fellowship a noun or a verb? It's both. It's both. It's used both ways in the New Testament. Sometimes it's used as a noun. Sometimes it's used as a verb. It all depends on the context of its usage. When it's used as a noun, it can refer to what we would call the church. When it's used as a verb, I think it's referring to a practice within the church. Moreover, in both usages, there's overlap. Right? Because the practice of fellowship flows from the fact of fellowship. Right? Doesn't that make sense? You become a member of a church, the fact of fellowship, and then you practice that fellowship with inside the church. So there's overlap in these. My point, I don't want to be technical for no reason tonight. My point, and really the implication of distinguishing between fellowship used as a noun and fellowship used as a verb, is that you can be in the church, that is, be a member of a church, but not be in the church. Right? Not be practicing fellowship with inside the church. Right? Does that make sense? So, fellowship is both. It's a noun and a verb. So, as we have that in mind, that it's used both ways in the New Testament, and that there's overlap, I want to begin to define fellowship by telling you what fellowship is not. It's helpful for me when I'm learning something to see what it's not, to kind of help show you what it is. So, first, I'm going to give two things here. First, fellowship is not a relational interchange over common interests, experiences, or viewpoints. It's not a relational interchange over common interests, experiences, or viewpoints. Now, let me give you two examples of what I mean by this with two things that I love. Since I began to take interest in automobiles, I don't know, I was 14 or 15, I've always had a love for Jeeps. And the result of this has been that, with the exception of my first vehicle, I've always owned a Jeep. Now, this is great. If I ever encounter someone with another love for Jeeps that I have, the conversation is immediately animated and friendly. I mean, they can be a stranger, but it immediately animated and friendly because of her common interest in Jeeps, especially when we start talking about 70 CJs, what I'm really interested in. But that warm interchange over a common interest such as Jeeps is not fellowship. That may sound kind of like a no-brainer. Let me give you this second example. I also love to play sports. At one point in my life, I was playing organized football, basketball, soccer, and baseball. And I was also playing pickup games in my neighborhood when I had the opportunity. And currently, when I have occasion to play sports, like football. I love to play pickup games of football. One of the things that I enjoy about it is the small talk, the conversing with other men, even friends, about a wide variety of things. I mean, you can talk about a lot of stuff when you're playing football. It's funny how that works out. But just a lot of mutual interests, like politics, the latest NFL news, whatever it is. But while I'm playing football, even with my friends, I'm probably gonna deepen my friendships a little with them. But a relational interchange over an experience such as football is not fellowship. That's not fellowship. Fellowship is not a relational interchange over common interests, experiences, or viewpoints. Second, fellowship is not, at least not necessarily, a religious activity, like going to a Bible study, sharing doctrinal commitments, or attending a men's Christian rally. For many people raised in the church, observes one pastor, The word fellowship brings to mind potluck suppers in the fellowship hall, where the appetizer is roast pasture, the main course savage gossip with the garnish of slander, followed by a dessert of quarrels over ignorant controversy. That's sad, right? But it's true. And you know it's true because you've been in churches like that. So fellowship is not, for example, it's not attending a church potluck. Fellowship, listen, fellowship is not even necessarily attending a Sunday morning service or a Wednesday prayer meeting. The point is that fellowship is not a religious activity. Relational interchange and religious activity may provide a context for fellowship, but it is not in itself fellowship. Right? So what is fellowship? Well, there are 19 uses of the word fellowship in the Bible, in the New Testament. And we don't have time to survey all these tonight, obviously. That would be what we would do. We would survey those and kind of inductively arrive at a definition of fellowship. So what I want to do is I want to give you a definition of fellowship, and then I want us to look at three passages that support that definition. Okay? So here's the formal definition of fellowship, which we're going to work with. This is our working definition. Fellowship is participation together in the life and truth made possible by the Holy Spirit through our union with Christ. Let me repeat that. Fellowship is participation together in the life and truth made possible by the Holy Spirit through our union with Christ. Now, this definition comes from a pastor, a guy named John Lochness, and he wrote an excellent essay on fellowship. And it's the best concise definition that mostly that aligns best with all the biblical data on fellowship that I've found. So that's going to be kind of our working definition of fellowship. And it's really good. And so let's look at three texts that kind of unpack this definition. First, hold your finger in Acts 2 again, because we're going to come back to this. Turn to Philippians 1. It's page 1174. Philippians 1, verse 5, page 1174. So Paul here is thanking the Philippians, as he does in the intro of his letters. Verse 5, he thanks them in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. So that word participation is the same word translated fellowship in Acts 2:42. It's the word fellowship. So fellowship then, as our definition indicates, is a participation together. Okay? That's what fellowship is. It's participating together in a common message. Namely, as this passage makes clear, in the gospel. Fundamentally, it is a participation in the gospel. Second, turn back to Acts 2:42. So in Acts 2:42, the early Christians participated together in community, in life and in truth. In life, they shared with each other, not only spiritually, but materially, material possessions. Look at verses 44 and 45. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. So they are participating together in life and in truth, right? They were participating in the apostles' teaching, in the apostolic teaching. So that's the life and truth part of our definition. Third text, turn to 1 John 1, 1 John 1, page 1218. And we're not going to come back to Acts, so you can take your finger out of that passage if you need to. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, page 1218. See, our call to fellowship with one another is a fellowship or union with Jesus. Fellowship starts with the gospel. Right? So 1 John 1, 3 says, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Fellowship with the Father and with the Son. That is the union with Christ language in our definition. Okay, so biblical fellowship is participation together in the life and truth made possible by the Holy Spirit through our union with Christ. Now, this is why relational interchange and religious activity fails to meet the definition of fellowship. Right? Relational interchange, if you think about it, is common to all humanity. Right? Friendships, marriage, having kids, playing sports, work, going to school, are all experiences open to all of humanity. But only Christians can experience fellowship. Sadly, not all Christians do. Honestly, not all do. Have you ever wondered why your relationships seem superficial? May I suggest, as John Loftus says, that it's because that, quote, "while all Christians have relationships, not all relationships include fellowship," end quote. And this definition of fellowship is also why religious activity fails to meet the bill, because religious activity doesn't necessarily involve participation together in life and truth. For many people, religious activity means showing up to church, listening to a message, and then going home. True biblical fellowship isn't merely a relational interchange or a religious activity, but is participation together in the life and truth made possible by the Holy Spirit through our union with Christ. You see, God offers us fellowship as a precious but often neglected gift. It is a gift reserved and created exclusively for His children. Right? Fellowship, then, is part and parcel of what it means to be a Christian. So, as I stated at the beginning, the call to Christianity is a call to fellowship. Now, I was praying, "Lord, how do I present this material tonight?" Because I knew going in tonight there was a lot of technical and conceptual information that we had to present in a short amount of time. But I think laying this foundation of a definition of fellowship, so we're all kind of working from the same definition, is a good foundation for us to really proceed over the next several months. And as we do proceed, what you're going to find is that what we're going to do is we're going to unpack that definition. We're going to kind of unpack that. And it's really a dense, rich definition. And so what I want to do is unpack that and talk about the various aspects of that as we go forward. And so tonight, as we close, I want you to ask this question tonight. How does your view of fellowship need to change, if it does? Does it align with this definition tonight? Even more importantly, from what you know of what you've heard from this definition, without going into a lot of detail of how this looks, it's very conceptual, I know that, But from what you know, are you practicing fellowship? Are you practicing fellowship? And really just not practicing it, but being devoted to it. Being devoted to it, as was the early church. So those are the two things I want you to think about and consider as we over the next few days and even weeks, as we march on in this series on fellowship. So let's close in prayer here. Father, we are so grateful tonight for you calling us into fellowship with your Son. And Lord, then from that, having fellowship with one another in the body of Christ. Lord, we thank you for this precious but often neglected gift. Father, I pray that Grace Community Bible Church would be a church that experiences fellowship the way you intended it, Lord. And that we would experience it to such a degree that it would be contagious, and it would be life-changing in our church. Father, we pray that you would do this work so that you would be glorified and lifted up. That you, the God who has called sinners out of darkness into your marvelous light, would be glorified, because now we are a new people that you have chosen, a new people, a new race, as Peter says, that we would be to the praise of your glory. Thank you for this time, Lord, and pray that you would bless now our prayer time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Um